Well, that's a great thought, isn't it? The reality that we'll be together in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. You know, you go out to a lot of places. It may be a zoo. It may be some kind of scientific exhibit. Maybe some exhibit of dinosaurs or something of that nature. And they always talk about a billion years ago or a million years ago or thousands and thousands of years ago. And they always present it on these beautiful plaques and it's beautifully printed as if it's a fact, when there is absolutely no proof whatsoever of what they're saying. It's all just theory, just theory. And so we've been talking about why I believe, and one message was on why I believe the Bible, then another why I believe in God. And tonight I want to talk to you about why I believe in creation. This will be a little technical, but hang on with me and we'll tie it up down at the end. But I hope you'll understand that. I hope our young people will really listen, because I know you're inundated with this in your schools, maybe not in a Christian school, but in other schools. And I do thank God we have Christians who are teaching in public schools. Praise God for that. We need that salt and light there. But by and large, you're going to get a lot of this evolutionary garbage that will come down through the educational pipeline, and it's just not what the Bible says. Now, I want to give you a great text tonight, and I hope you can find it. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. How many times maybe we overlooked that one verse, and how powerful it is. How powerful it is. And there it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
In the beginning, God. That assumes He was there. And He created the heavens and the earth. There are really basically, there are other religions, but as far as religion and the thing that is so in competition with Christianity, you have Christianity that is there. And then another, and I'm going to call it a religion because I believe that's what it is that religion of evolutionary believing in the evolutionary process, is, in fact, I think, a religion in its own right. You have some vocal evolutionists that would make statements like this. The more one studies paleontology, that is the fossil record, the more one studies paleontology, the more certain one becomes that evolution is based on faith, F-A-I-T-H, alone. That's one of their people saying it. That evolution is based on faith alone. So when you have faith involved in the thing, you probably have a religion. When you put faith into the mix of that. So it requires belief, and it would require for us a belief in a divine creator, and to them it requires belief in their theory. Now, another evolutionist said this: evolution is unproved, and unprovable. This is their statement. We believe it because the only alternative is special creation, which is unthinkable. Well, I don't think it's unthinkable, do you? Special creation by Almighty God makes a whole lot more sense to me tonight than evolution, that is unproved by their own statement and unprovable as a fact. Suppose I said that about Christianity tonight. Suppose I said that Christianity is unproved and unprovable. And many of you would get up and say, well, if that's it, let's just leave. Let's just walk out. It's unproved. It's unprovable. There's nothing to it. We believe it because there's not a better alternative. No, my friend, it is the truth, and evolution is the lie. And so we believe the biblical account of what is said. Dr. Duane Gish, who is a very noted biologist, made this statement: evolution is a fairy tale for adults. Now, he's an evolutionist. that made that statement. It's a fairy tale for adults. And I'm quoting their own people. And I would say, yeah, it is a fairy tale. It reminds me of Grimm's fairy tales. You go back and read that and you'll find out that one day somebody kissed a frog and the frog turned into a prince. And it all happened in about 2 seconds. And the evolutionists are very much like them, and they say someone kissed a frog and it took 2 million years for it to turn into a prince. Both of them are fairy tales. Amen? Science is simply something that takes faith to believe what they purport and what they say is the truth. There was a book written entitled Why Scientists Accept Evolution. And in that book, they quoted a lot of the leaders that started out teaching evolution. People like Huxley and Darwin and Spencer and these that purported that particular theory. And in those documented letters that they have that these authors put together, some of these leaders admitted that they were hostile to God and the supernatural. That was one reason they didn't want to, they wanted to come up with another theory. They didn't want to believe in God. They didn't want to believe in the supernatural. They did not want God in their lives. And that's why, by their own admission, they jumped at the theory of evolution. Huxley said this, and this is a quote of something that he said, "I suppose the reason we leaped at the origin of species was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores." And that's probably one of the main reasons they went to evolution, is because they don't want God interfering with their lifestyle and the way they want to live, and to commit fornication and adultery and live such a lifestyle. And the evolutionary prospect that really is not proven is something that really fits that. Move God out of the way and I can live any way I want to. I do not have to answer to a true God. That was one of their own statements. And I think that nowadays we are told by others to believe all the scientific beliefs of it, and we are told the lie that all scientists believe in evolution. My friend, all scientists do not believe in evolution. And there are some that laugh at it like it's a major joke because they know the reality of the fact that it has never been proven and it's based on junk that is clay that won't hold up, and there are those things that are totally contrary to the Word of God and totally contrary, really, to the art of science. And many, many scientists reject the theory of evolution. Now, I believe God created the universe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the heaven and the earth. God did it. By the way, you cannot combine evolution with the Bible. It just doesn't work. They've taken some kind of putty nose and twisted it to make it come out to be something else, trying to say theistic evolution. We believe there's a God, and he sort of made it and walked off and left it all and said, I don't want to have anything else to do with it. And over the billions or millions of years, we have finally evolved into what we are today. I believe God created the universe. And if you believe in evolution, and I hope none of you here do, and I hope you young people will have enough sense to know that if somebody gets up just because they have some kind of degree, it may mean they have a higher temperature, but they have some kind of degree that, and they antagonize you with it, you don't have to believe that. You know what the Bible teaches. I wish I could give you many, many, many lessons on that, but evolution is antagonistic, always has been, to creation. Evolution, antagonistic to creation, and I might add, creation has always been antagonistic to evolution. They just don't go together. They do not fit together. And so we have to understand that. Now, the pseudo, that is the false scientific foundation for every anti-Christian ism, comes from evolution. Every anti-Christian ism really can be traced back to evolution. For instance, Nazism. Did you know evolution played a high part and a strong part into Nazism? Hitler and Nietzsche, who believed in a super race and the theory of the survival of the fittest, and so Hitler and others believed that there had to be war fought and people had to do what they had to do in order, in that military capacity, to bring out the survival of the fittest and to have a superior super race. It's also interesting that they hated the Jews, isn't it? Those who are purport and those who believe that kind of belief are usually the ones who hate the Jews. But it was born in that theory of evolution. Karl Marx, most of you certainly would know that name, had Darwin write the introduction to his writing Das Kapital. He had him write it because he believed that Darwin provided the foundation for communism. So you have Nazism based on it. You have communism that is based on it. And I might add that Mussolini was just about the very same in his belief and why he was doing what he did. But in Genesis 1:1, and in the writings here as we get on early in the Bible, you have the declaration in Hebrew, the word bara. The word bara literally means direct creation of God. And that was not an accident that in the original, the Hebrew word was bara, that meant God acted and God intervened and God did it, the direct creation of Almighty God. And it's used three times. One time it's used for the creation of matter, and then another time for the creation of life itself, and another time for the creation of man. All of that in the original language in the Bible, showing that God, by divine fiat and by His almighty power, made this earth, created the heaven and the earth. And He didn't need evolution and frogs and everything else to do it. God did it. There are a lot of things that can be explained by the universal flood, the canopy theory, and all of that. We don't have time to go into that tonight. But we know that God created these things. So He created the material universe. God did it. It was Almighty God that did it. I know the others believe in the Big Bang theory. There was some kind of compacted mass that was out there of material, and for some odd reason it exploded. And when it exploded, it gave out big chunks of the explosion, such as our Milky Way and our galaxies. And so they have to explain that away, because if they don't, then they believe that the universe had no beginning as we would know it, and these are just accidental things that happen. But when we understand the Word of God, we know there were no accidents. In the beginning was with God. There was a God. And if God could begin anything, He could begin all things. So what is the first cause anyway? The first cause is always God. God is the one. And when you understand that God can make these things, and God did make these things, it's no problem for you to believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. It was God who did it. We don't have to believe in a Big Bang theory. They believed that all of that somehow or another someday was going to be pulled back together by some kind of magnetic force that was going to bring it back together, and then that it was not something that was scientifically or something that was proven other than scientifically, and it wasn't proven by the fact that there's a divine creator. But if there was a beginning, then bless the Lord, there was a creator, and that is our God. Jehovah Elohim, the God who was, who is, who always shall be, the supreme object of worship. So he created the material universe and he created life. God created life. Darwin referred to the simple single cell. He looked at that and talked about that and had a lot of comments that would leave God out of it. Darwin had very crude microscopes. He could only see just a little bit. All they saw was something that looked like a basketball with something in the middle of it. That's all he could see. We've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way from that beginning in those crude microscopes. And now they know that a single cell is so complex that there's no way you can really understand it. There's no way to understand it. A Harvard paleontologist said it this way, a single cell molecule is the most complicated substance known to man. And I can't give you all these figures, but something to 10 in the power of 386,000 plus and all of that, the odds of that just being something that evolved over millions of years is just absolutely impossible. That's the way we would say it, that it is impossible. It is God who designed that single cell and all that is in that single cell. Now, that has led, evolution has led to a lot of weird theories. Let me share a couple of them and you'll get a kick out of this, at least I hope you will. There's something called the hopeful monster theory. The hopeful monster theory. One of these scientists came up with this. And here's what he believes happened. One day a lizard laid an egg. And the lizard sat on the egg long enough until an eagle hatched. That's a theory that a great, brilliant, so-called scientist came up with. Well, I like Genesis 1:1 better than something like that, don't you? One man decided, hey, it wasn't man that came from apes. That man was here first and apes came from man. And he really had a tremendous scientific theory to prove that that is a fact. Now, some of you ladies probably think that about your husband, but at any rate, it's not a fact. Another came up with this proven theory in his own scientific way that, no, we're not so much kin to the apes, but we are really kin to the pigs. So you're just a slab of bacon, amen? Just kin to the pigs. You see, all kinds of unproven scientific things, theorems and all of that, they're not proven, and 9 out of 10 of them are based on somebody who really does not want God in their lives. They just don't want God out there. They don't want to answer to God. And so great scientists all over the country today absolutely refute and reject all of that. Although millions have been brainwashed to believe it. And that's what's happened in our culture. We have been brainwashed to think that if you don't believe in evolution, you're not intelligent. You're just an old-fashioned Bible-thumping fundamentalist, and you still believe the Word of God. What's the matter with you? Why don't you grow up and get educated, and then you can believe that you came from a monkey, amen? The Neanderthal man all the way up and to us. Here's the truth. God made us. What do you believe? I believe God made us. I believe God created us in His image. Not so much physically, but body, soul, and spirit, trichotomatic beings created in the image of Almighty God and other things that would indicate the very same thing. That's why, listen now, we are accountable to God. We were created by God, created in the image of God to bring glory to God. And everybody in this building tonight is accountable to God. We're all accountable to God. Those who don't believe in God are still going to be accountable to God. They may not believe it. They won't be dead 1 second until they believe that there is a God. And they are accountable to that God. And that God is going to judge them. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, my dear friend, you're going to stand before God, the Creator, one of these days, and He will be your judge. For you, it will be the great white throne judgment, To the believer, it'll be the judgment seat of Christ, but we're going to be judged by this God. Are we going to be judged by our goodness and by our merit and by our good deeds and all that? Absolutely not. You know why? If you believe that, you're still condemned. If you think you're going to appease God and be judged by your goodness and all of that, then you're still lost and you're on your way to hell. You need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. That Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only hope that anybody has to be right with God, the divine Creator, is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, to ask Him to come into your heart, and then to determine to follow Him in believer's baptism, to live for Him, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus throughout your life, and to become more like Jesus, and all the other things that enter into that, because you're born again, because you're saved. Only hope you have is Christ in God's mercy. Are you thankful tonight that God is merciful? I am. Are you thankful for the word grace, unmerited favor? I am, and I believe you are, because none of us deserved anything but hell. That's all we deserve. But God gave us mercy. God gave us grace. We've heard some of that sung about tonight. So it's not our supposed goodness. It is not our morality. It's not our religiosity, all of that. What one has to do is flee to the cross of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Dear friend, I believe God made us. The Bible declares that if you're here without Christ, come tonight. God will be your judge. If you'll get your sins under the blood, then it'll be precious when you face Him. And it won't be for condemnation. And then, dear beloved, we're created in His image. We've been born twice. Born once physically and born again. We ought to live like it. We ought to act like it. We ought to serve Him like it. He ought to be the focus of all of our life and everything we do. Is that true of you as a believer tonight? If not, may God help you to be revived in your heart. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you, dear God, that right at the very beginning you declared, in the beginning, you, God, created the heaven and the earth. We believe that here, God. I believe probably everybody in this building surely believes it. If anybody is struggling with that, may you take the blinders off and may you stop Satan from deceiving them. Maybe some of our precious teenagers and young people, I pray that they'd understand that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, made man and made woman. God, we know we're answerable to you. Help the Christians that are here tonight. We might reflect that we're made in your image and twice born to be like Jesus Christ. Oh God, help the unsaved to be saved in Jesus' name. While we sing, will you come? May God help you if you have a need.